Christmas composting at stlcompost.com.
Frank, I'm Kevin.
Join Frank and Kevin on the Big Barbecue Show every Sunday on the Big 550 KTRS from 4 till 5 p.m. as they broadcast from St. Louis Home Fires,
where we talk recipes, tips, techniques, and anything barbecue.
We keep an eye on the local scene with barbecue contest updates and product reviews.
Fired up as we talk to local legends and national barbecue icons every Sunday from 4 to 5 on the Big 550.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Here on the Big 550 KTRS, I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And here with Dan Strauss and Ian Geis. Before you guys say anything, let me say this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear customer. Happy birthday to you.
Customer?
Yeah. You know, that happy birthday song.
Oh,
that,
yes.
There's that ruling this week from a judge that is now in the public domain.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah, you could perform it anywhere, anytime.
Ah.
And the reason I said customer there is because it now means that all these bars and restaurants where you'd go to, where they would get all the waiters and waitresses together, and they'd go...
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, customer. Happy birthday. They didn't even bother learning the name of the customer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they'd have to make some weird song up.
Yeah.
About a birthday.
Because they couldn't sing happy birthday to you because they're covered by the, what was it?
The copyright law or something?
Yeah.
The trademark? I don't know
what those groups are that collect royalties for publishers and songwriters.
Yeah, ASCAP
and BMI.
And BMI, yeah.
Yeah, and because that counts as a public performance of a song. Like, for instance, Dan, when you and your band, the Upside Down Band.
Yeah,
the
Southside Johnny Band.
That's what I said. Yeah. When you and your band go and you perform in bars,
yeah,
those bars have a license,
yes,
with ASCAP and BMI for any music that's played there, whether it's live or even recorded music.
Yes.
I mean, even if they turn on a radio station that plays music in there, or a satellite radio station, or put on like Pandora or Spotify or somebody's CD, they have to pay royalties for that. And so they buy an annual license, which covers everything that's there, whether it's you or something recorded.
Some places do. I've heard of some places getting caught by the ASCAP or BMI people that come in to like a restaurant or a bar or something,
yeah,
and they're playing either a radio station or whatever, which I don't understand. I'll finish my thought, but then they will cite them and ask them, you know, they'll ask them, let me see your license.
Yeah.
And if they don't have it, then they can cite them and fine them.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why you can't play a radio station, because radio stations already pay.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
This is kind of inside baseball, but we'll share a little industry insider information for you. Every radio station that plays music for a living, so not us, but every radio station that plays music for a living,
yeah,
the music that you hear is licensed by these organizations on behalf of the songwriters.
Yeah.
Not the performers. Well, I think the performers get some too, but
yeah.
But so the songwriters and performers, because they wrote the music and they're the ones who created it, they deserve to be paid whenever their music is performed or played. And so that's what radio stations do. There are actually big arguments going on now about how much they should get paid and all that stuff. I won't get into that. But then you're right. If a restaurant or, you know, The Gap turns on that radio station and plays it through their speakers, they have to pay for the performance of stuff that's already been paid for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which very odd.
Yeah, I don't understand that one.
Well, the happy birthday one was this this family that had said that they created the song something like 80, 90, 100 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, it looks, this article I saw here, two sisters wrote a kindergarten song titled Good Morning to You, Good and then later put the happy birthday lyrics to that.
Yes, Mildred and Patty Hill.
Whoa, peon, a trivia buff.
Well, no, I just looked it up on the internet.
Oh.
Yeah, as opposed to me, who printed it out from the internet. And blow it in.
But now it says Warner has it.
Well, yes, Warner Music bought the rights to it in 1988, and every year they collected something like $2 million in licensing fees for it.
Wow.
And the reason this all ended up in court is because a woman named Jennifer Nelson, who's an independent filmmaker, was doing a documentary about the history of the song Happy Birthday to You. And so she included the song in the movie, and Warner heard about it and said, you know, you have to pay us to use that. Oh, and she said, well, that's what the documentary's about why people shouldn't have to pay you. And she said, I'm not going to pay you. And they said, well, then we're going to sue you. Okay, so it went to court, and this week the judge out in a federal court in Los Angeles said, no, she's right. This is in the public domain.
Good for him.
These people never actually registered this version of Happy Birthday to You, the one we all know. Now, you weren't in trouble when you sang this at your party at home to your four-year-old. Just so you know, you're in the clear there. This was for, quote, public performance, which could even include recorded performances.
And restaurants, I guess, because that would be for a customer in a place that a business.
Correct, in a place where they're performing the song for you, and so they have to pay the performance royalties. But now there won't be any more of that happy, happy birthday, happy birthday you, happy birthday customer, happy birthday you. Nothing is going to be free because it's your birthday except this cake that you're not going to like.
Yeah.
Piece of cake. You never got the whole cake.
No,
they would never bring you a whole cake. It was, what do we have in the back that's not selling? Mm-hmm. Something that's almost stale. Good, because there's a Jenny out here, and she wants a
birthday. Last piece of the cheesecake.
Jenkins, where are the candles?
Jenkins. Jenkins, he's back in the kitchen. Good Lord.
He would be the one who'd be in charge of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so go ahead. Sing the Happy Birthday to You song to your heart's content now, waiters and waitresses.
And we've had birthdays when we've been playing out, and we did sing that.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
But you were performing in places that were covered by ASCAP and BMI licenses, you were permitted to do that.
Oh,
if you went to a local Applebee's, they probably did not have that. Or
no, they sang a different song.
Or Nemo's Pizza or wherever. They would not they would not have been paying the
I'm telling you, what they do upstairs, we went to Kobe's for my girlfriend has twins, and they celebrated their 30th birthday party up there. We went to Kobe's.
Mm-hmm.
They came out, and it's Japanese, correct? Mm-hmm. So they came out, and I don't know what the heck the song was.
In Japanese.
Yeah, and they had a drum, and they beat on the drum, and it lasted about 5 seconds.
Uh-huh.
It went boom, boom, I tie up, boom, boom, tie up. Hey! And that was it.
Well, that's all it should be, really.
Yeah.
If you think about it, how long is happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear customer, happy birthday to you?
Yes.
Although I would now have to feel like there's an obligation on the part of someone at the restaurant to learn the customer's name.
Yeah.
You know, happy birthday to you, Ian. Happy birthday to you. Really? You couldn't, while you were doing that whole, because they introduced themselves to you.
Right.
Hi, I'm Shelby. I'll be your waitress today. Your server. We don't say waitress anymore because we have to be gender neutral now. Although, isn't server a male serverette?
Server is both. Yeah. Gender neutral.
Server is gender neutral? Okay, because I don't want to offend anybody. Because that's the last thing I want to do on the radio is offend anybody, because I'll get to that in a minute. So you would think that somebody there, after Shelby introduces herself and finds out it's somebody's birthday, she would say, oh, what's your name? And then she goes in the back and tells Jenkins and the crew, it's Ian.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, dear Ian. Happy birthday to you.
I always introduce myself when they come up and go, hi, I'm Shelby. Hi, I'm Dan. This is Sandy. We'll be your customers.
I have done the same thing to my daughter's chagrin many, many times.
Oh.
And I bet you started it to embarrass your kids, too.
Yes.
Didn't you? Yeah.
Anytime you can embarrass your daughter in public.
Oh, no, I think my family did that once, and then any other time I told them, I will get up and walk out of this restaurant.
Because your parents were embarrassing you?
Oh, yeah, where they would tell, hey, we're going to tell them it's your birthday. I go, I'll just leave.
Oh, right. Really?
Yeah. No, I'm not a fan of the coming over and being sung to.
Oh, really?
How many times, speaking of birthdays, how many times do you think somebody at Denny's gave people free birthday meals, Grand Slam breakfasts? Before somebody at Denny's Corporate said, you know, there can't possibly be this many birthdays every day in all of our franchises.
Yeah.
Let's check IDs from now on.
Hey, wait a minute. That guy had a birthday 2 months ago.
He's a regular here.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got to be 242.
So here's the musical thing that I'll say that'll offend somebody. If I had to do what John Carney just did for 2 hours, broadcasting live from the Scottish Games.
With the bagpipes?
I would have killed myself.
I know.
I cannot stand bagpipes. I hate them. I was doing something here a few years ago, and when I was doing the midday show here, and there was some sort of Scottish event here at Westport, and a bagpipe crew walked by the window.
Oh, I remember that.
And the producer of my show at the time, whose name I will not say on the radio, ran out and got them and brought them in so that they could play on the air.
I
said, okay, they're here. She brings them in during a commercial break. And I said, well, you can lead them out now because if I hear that, I'm leaving. If they start playing, I'm leaving and you have to do the rest of the show. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me.
Yeah, I was here. I was playing all the different music for them and I was playing different songs, but they all sounded alike.
Every song sounds the same.
They do.
Everyone. I think I've told the story of when I, my wife and I, maybe 25 years ago, went to see the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, this legendary group of musicians, some of whom were in their 90s or close to 100. They're from New Orleans, where they're local legends in New Orleans, but they were on tour around the country. And so they were playing at a local venue, and we went to see them. And after the third song, my wife turned to me and said, do you think every song is going to be Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey? That's what it sounded like. I said, I don't know, let's try one more, because I had felt the same way, like, this is not good. And when the fourth song started, it started off as the same thing. And, you know, what they would do is they would play, and then each instrumentalist in the Preservation Hall Jazz Band would do their little solo. The banjo, the clarinet guy, the guitar, the violin, whoever it was, I don't remember what instruments were in there. Every song sounded like, Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey?
Yeah.
And in the middle of the fourth song, I turned to her and I said, you ready? She said, yeah. And we left. And while we're walking out to the car, they finished that song, and we could hear them from the venue starting the fifth song. I'll be damned, it was Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey.
The actual song?
The actual song.
All right, we're going to do an original. Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey. Won't you come home, Mr. Space Lee? Won't you come home?
Can you imagine if Jetsons. I ever heard Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey played on bagpipes?
Oh, no.
Just,
but you couldn't tell what it was, though.
No.
I'm with you.
You have no idea.
Is that, what is that?
No.
Oh, won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Can't you tell?
Yeah. It's either that or Amazing Grace. That's what it's, to me, every bagpipe song sounds like Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
I know it's not, but maybe it is. I can't tell.
Well, there's a constant note that keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah. But please.
I know.
Please, don't even.
Paul, I'm sorry.
No, don't even imitate that sound.
Sorry. I'm going to. Oh, man. Paul will leave, and then Ian will leave, because I had a whole bunch of people coming in to sing happy birthday to Ian. Man. And then we're going to do it bagpipes.
Now, you know what? Let's go back to the birthday thing for just a second, because we're three guys. Do you remember the birthdays of people who you know? I'm not talking about your wife or your kids. I'm talking about anyone else.
Yes.
You remember those?
Yeah, I remember
like
certain birthdays because a friend of mine, his name is Kirk, and he lives in Indianapolis now. We grew up together. His birthday is coming up. It's October 4th. But I remember that because it's the 4th, and my birthday is August 4th. There is another guy that I grew up with, Mark
Brown. Okay, wait. Let me just stop you. your birthday was like 6 or 7 weeks ago?
Yeah, my birthday's August.
Did 4th. You know that, Ian? Do you know when Dan's birthday is?
Only through Facebook. I only know people's birthdays because it pops up and says, hey, so-and-so's birthday.
Or somebody sends a birthday message to somebody else on that day.
Yes.
And that's
but
how you
otherwise,
know.
I would have no clue.
So on August 1st, in the 17 years you've been working with him, on August 1st of any year, have you thought to yourself, oh, Dan's birthday's coming up in a few days?
No.
No, because you don't know.
Mm-mm.
But you do, Dan.
I know my birthday's coming up.
Yes, you know your birthday.
Do you know when Ian's birthday is?
His birthday is in June, I believe.
That is correct.
That's as far as I go.
Well, that's a 1 in 12 guess, isn't it?
That's about as far as I go. I think, I don't know, June 17th.
I've worked with you guys for a long time. I have no idea when your birthdays are. I know yours is August 4th only because you said it 90 seconds ago.
Yeah.
But next week you ask me when your birthday is, I will not remember.
No, I couldn't guess your month of your birthday.
Which is fine because we're middle-aged men and we're not really celebrating our birthdays.
No, you can have close guy friends your entire life and you wouldn't remember when their birthdays are.
Oh, no, there are guys that I grew up with, my two best friends. I don't know one of them, Corky, but he passed away. His birthday was in March, and I don't know what day.
The only one I know is a guy I went to college with named Phil, and the only reason I know it is because it's on April Fool's Day.
Yeah. Well, that's how I remember. I remember Kirk's birthday because it's the 4th, because my birthday's on the 4th, and I remember a guy named Mark Brown, and his birthday is on Groundhog's Day.
So if somebody here at the office were having a birthday, and there were a cake, somebody in the office brought in, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday, you would know that that cake was not brought in by a male member of the staff.
Oh, most
correct?
Definitely, yes.
It was probably a female person who works here because they tend to know it all.
Yes.
Well, they keep track of birthdays.
Yeah. And Facebook makes it a lot easier. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I got to stop here because after this break, I'm going to talk to a guy by the name of Phil Rosenthal. This guy ran the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond. He helped create it. He did create it for Ray Romano and ran it for all the years that it was on the air, and now has a food and travel show called I'll Have What Phil's Having that's going to debut on PBS and Channel 9 this Monday night. He is a great storyteller and a very funny guy, and we got to get to him right after this on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me. Yeah, we're going to check on traffic right now as we head into the weekend. Here's Jim Weiland.
Boy, and it's not a pretty sight coming into St. Louis right now. We are already slowing from Timberlake Manor up through 270 and also from Lindbergh into Big Bend. Southbound 170 solid from Olive to Highway 40. Southbound 270 slow in areas between Page and 40 and then stop and go between there and Highway 44. Westbound 44 just a little bit heavy. West of the Guyer Road overpass out through the Merrimack River Bridge, and eastbound 270 now slowing at Lindbergh. And this traffic report brought to you by Staples. Staples has more for less on everything your business needs to make more happen every day. Plus, free shipping and up to 5% back when you sign up for Staples Rewards. Staples, make more happen. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Mizzou eyes a third straight SEC East Championship. Follow the 2015 Tigers football season on the Big 550 KTRS.
We are Mizzou.
If you want more fun out of your home this year, the best place to start, Outdoor Living Incorporated at I-44 and Big Bend. Hi, everybody. McGraw-Millhaven here. Outdoor Living has been my place where I've turned to for my outdoor decking for years. And everyone in St. Louis has been turning to Outdoor Living since 1991. They've been transforming outdoor entertainment areas. Their showroom has 15 different deck displays, 30 different rail options, fences, gazebos, pergolas, screened-in porches, fire pits, built-in grills, and sunrooms, just to name some of the things they have. They also operate their own lumber yard, and they'll supply all of the decking materials for your project. Outdoor Living Inc. stocks TimberTech decking. That's that composite cap with the polymer shell. It's low maintenance, scratch resistance, and comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. Outdoor Living or Outdoor Living Inc. located on South Holmes near I-44 and Big Bend in Kirkwood. 314-966-3325 or OutdoorLivingInc.com.
Hi folks, this is John Shane, Mr. Fix-It. If you're like the rest of us, you got junk all over the house. I want to help you get rid of some of that clutter around the house. You know you've been wanting to, but just haven't had the time, energy, or muscles to get it done. Well, you need to call the helpful people at Pitch It and Forget It at 314-932-1100. Pitch and Forget It is a residential commercial junk removal company. Their professional staff will come to your house at a scheduled time and remove the items no longer wanted, freeing up valuable space. Pitch and Forget It will remove old TVs, appliances, home remodeling waste, rugs, old couches, furniture from your attic, basement, garage, or anywhere in the house, and you don't have to lift a finger. Pitch and Forget It will even clean up after themselves. They're eco-friendly, recycling most items, so call Pitch It and Forget It at 314-932-1100. That's 314-932-1100, or visit their website at pitchit.us. That's pitchit.us. Don't forget, call Pitch It and Forget It, 314-932-1100.
In business, it's crucial that you recruit the right talent for your company. That's why you should interview a region's business banker. And when you do, please, please ask the hardest-hitting questions on your mind. Like, how will you work to understand my business and financial goals? Will you give me options based on my specific needs? Can I expect smart advice and guidance through all those options? How do you ensure my loan is in line with my objectives? Hey, these are things you need to know. What you'll find is that we have a lot of thought-provoking answers that address the critical issues you face today. Oh, and like any good interview candidate, we'll have some questions for you that may get you thinking about opportunities you haven't considered yet. So set up an interview with a Regions Business Banker today. Call 1-800-833-9776. That's 1-800-833-9776. Or visit regions.com/interview to get started. Regions Bank. Member FDIC. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply.
There's a big red barn where you say green. Norm's Barn and Barn. On discount windows, doors, and things. Norm's Barn and Barn.
I'm Norm Wilkie. Come see my new selection of Amish cabinetry made by my good Amish friends at Countrywood Products. We now stock five styles of cabinetry for you to choose from.
When you need to save on discount windows, doors, and cabinetry, come to Norm's Bargain Barn. With locations in Shiloh and Fenton at the bottom of Gravois Bluffs, visit normsbargainbarn.com.
That's normsbargainbarn.com.
Are you ready to experience cleaning made easy? Stop by one of the five St. Louis area Oryx stores and check out their selection of lightweight vacuums, handheld models, steam mops, and air purifiers. Their experts are ready to help with all your cleaning needs. You won't find this kind of personal service anywhere else. Now, for a limited time, pick up the Oryx Steam It steam mop for only $129.99. That's a $50 savings off the regular price. So hurry into one of the five area Oryx stores today.
The more you learn about your insurance coverage, the more gaps you might find. Like how you thought you were covered for this.
Honey, someone stole my wedding ring!
When you're really only covered for this.
Honey, someone stole my Dakota ring!
Oh well, it was weird anyway.
Or how with renter's insurance, you're covered for
valuables, electronics, bikes, karaoke machines, waffle makers, superhero pajamas.
And without it, you're covered for talk to a farmer's agent about what gaps might be hiding in your insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
With all the market volatilities these days, it's nice to know St. Louis-based Stifel Nicholas is home to one of the investment industry's largest equity research departments. Learn more about Stifel's nationally recognized research capabilities and get a free copy of their research monthly publication. Call Scott Crothers at 314-292-6201.
My guest today ran the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond for 9 years, over 180 episodes for CBS television, and since then hasn't done another show of any kind. But now he's back with a new show on PBS that airs Monday night across the country and on Channel 9 here in the St. Louis area. It's a food and travel show called I'll Have What Phil's Having, and the Phil in question is this gentleman right here, Phil Rosenthal. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Hello. Hello. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I heard your little intro there, and you said I did 180 episodes.
More than
Everybody Loves Raymond. Do you know that it was 210?
Oh, excuse me.
Listen, we sweat over every one of these things, and so they all count.
Every one of them counts.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I was going to introduce you this way. My next guest is the only one who, to my knowledge, has ever willingly eaten an eel skull.
Yeah, you know, they slipped that in on me. I didn't know I was going to eat that. I'm not, you know, Anthony Bourdain eats those regularly, I think. I'm not him. I am telling people, though, I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything.
The show is you traveling to Tokyo and Hong Kong and Paris and Florence, Italy, and other places around the world, and essentially trying foods, that many people would not try, and also learning about food while you're there, right?
Yes, I am not out to be one of these stunt eaters. I'm not. My real goal is to entice you to come to these places. I'm not eating weird things just to eat them. I'm trying things that are slightly out of my comfort zone, as we all do when we go on vacation. We eat things that maybe, you know, to try because they're the local specialty. It's not going to kill you. You try one or two things, but mostly what I'm looking for is the things that we all would consider the best of that food in each city. And when I plan a vacation, I plan it around where I'm going to eat. I don't think I'm unique in that way. I think that a lot of people, they're like, okay, let's say we're going to Italy. Where are we going to eat? Where's the best pizza? Where's the best gelato? Where's the best steak? Right?
Yep.
And you're going to find all of those things in Italy. I just want you to go. I think the world would be a better place if we all could experience something outside of our usual experience.
Absolutely. My wife and I went to Italy for the first time last year.
Yeah.
And we visited Rome and Florence and Bologna. And while we were in those first two cities, in each of them, we took a 3 or 4 hour food tour.
Yeah.
Where we were introduced to things that we'd never had before. Like, I had never had fried artichoke before going there.
And what'd you think?
I thought it was delicious.
It is delicious. And now, when you're in a restaurant, maybe in St. Louis, there's an Italian restaurant that'll do it for you.
There are.
Yeah?
Yeah,
absolutely. And so that made your life a little better, right?
Yes, but the most important thing I learned when I was in Italy, and I know you know this, having been there and having seen your Italy show, is that gelato has to be the right kind of gelato.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of places if you go, and now I'm getting a little specific for your listeners, but let's say you're in Italy and you're seeing these gelato places and the gelato's piled high and it looks like beautiful mountains of multicolored wonder, right?
Mm-hmm.
That gelato's probably shipped in from some main factory and it's not all the same. So what you're looking for when you go are the people that make it in the back of the store.
Yep.
Artisanal, right? Artisanal gelato. So I go to the first gelato shop ever in Florence, made by Mr. Vivoli. Vivoli gelato might be the best I've ever had on the planet. And Silvana Vivoli, third generation gelato maker, I think you see in the episode that she makes me some fresh. And it's so delicious that I actually get emotional. I'm not proud of it, but I teared up a little. I couldn't help it.
When we were there, we tasted some of the kind of gelato you're talking about after making the mistake of thinking, oh, this colorful gelato over here piled high,
yeah,
this is real Italian gelato, because that's what we get in the States, you
of
know?
Of course.
You go anyplace, and it's not real gelato, as we learned. It's that fake stuff. And, you know, here in St. Louis, we have frozen custard, which is much different than ice cream. And then there's gelato as a kind of a third leg of that triumvirate of deliciousness. But you have to get the right kind. And it's the same thing with frozen custard. If you go to the wrong place, ew, it's not the real deal.
It's not the real deal. It's like, you know, it looks too pretty, right? And so you got to beware, just like a lady.
That's very well said. I want to go back to the eel skull for just a moment, because the first episode that's going to air Monday night on PBS is you in Tokyo doing essentially your version of Lost in Translation. There are scenes in this episode where you look around in the middle of an intersection, and it's like Bill Murray looking around and seeing all the signs that he can't read and all the people who have a crushing density of population, and you're just overwhelmed by it. And I'm guessing that that is an overwhelming feeling for all of your senses during the entire time you're there.
Have you been there?
No.
Okay, so what you see in the first minutes of that show is my real reaction to being in such a strange place to me. I didn't get it right away. But like a lot of things in life, not everything is as it appears to be. And just scratching the surface a little bit for the week that I spent there, I found all the hidden beauties, and it's in the show. You've got to be knocked out by the experience because, first of all, it's the most food-centric place on earth. Every other storefront is either a restaurant or someplace selling food. They love it. Food is the pop culture in Japan. That's why, like, you ever get Japanese candy?
No.
You know, there's like 30 different kinds of Kit Kat bars.
Wow.
Everything from green tea to peach to stuff. This is what they do for fun,
mm-hmm.
is they make this stuff, and it is outrageous, and it's ever-changing because they get bored with it after a while, and they come up with some new thing. Stuff's unbelievable.
Now, as I was watching that episode, three things stood out to me. One was that you actually did crunch down on the eel skull, which led me to the question, was there anything you said no to on any of these episodes?
No, maybe I'm a little stupid, but I'm there to try new things. And again, the show is not about eating the grossest thing you can find.
Right.
But once in a while, something sneaks in there when they're, you know, just being hospitable. It's what they eat.
Yeah.
We're just not used to it. Everyone around me, by the way, I was at the place you're referring to was a little 7-seat restaurant where you sit at the counter and a man who's been there for 60 years grills eel over a little hibachi,
yep.
about 1 foot wide, over an open fire. Now, eel by itself, I've had eel in sushi bars. It's always cooked. And what does it taste like? It tastes like grilled fish. That's it. If I didn't tell you it was eel, you would say, this is delicious grilled fish. That's all. Eel is a fish without the flippers. And that you get in this restaurant, your meal is going to be 7 skewers of eel, different parts of the eel. And they're all fantastic. One of them I started to bite down on, and it was very hard and crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was eating. I said, what is that? They said, that's the skull. I'm like, oh, there's lots of bones in it. And they said, yes, you're supposed to eat the bones. I'm like, really? This is not bones like I'm used to in certain fish where they're so delicate that they just go down very easy. You don't even notice them, right? They're so tiny and delicate. So I was taking out the bones out of my mouth. Well, it turns out custom-wise, this is not manly to do. And I admitted to not being very manly. I was not. I mean, this is like the bits of plastic that you find, like if you ever opened a CD case or a plastic container to get at your whatever product is trapped inside.
Yep.
It was hard like that. I couldn't do it. But because why? Because I'm not born there, and I don't, you know, it's not my custom, it's their custom.
Right.
So that happens once in a while. But look, I'm not lying to the people. I'm not saying every bite of food, of everything you're going to eat on your vacation is going to be delicious. But I am saying it's worthwhile anyway.
Absolutely. And again, I want to point out, this is not man versus food. This is
no.
Phil. This is Phil going and exploring and having all sorts of wonderful food all around the world, including, and the second thing from the Tokyo trip was when you sat down at the restaurant and the food comes out and you actually were hearing the sounds of the forest as you were eating a salad. And I don't want to give too much away about that because people should see it in the episode, but that was wonderful. But my favorite part of the Tokyo episode, Phil,
yes?
is you teaching the Japanese family how to make a New York egg cream.
Listen, that might be my favorite moment in the whole series. It's the quintessential moment of the series. It happened also quite by accident. We don't stage anything. It's a documentary about, you know, one guy's travels. And I went to this place, and they have their specialty in this restaurant that they serve. And I tried, and it was fine. And there was nothing really special going on until this happened. And this is the part we put in the show. I asked the gentleman who owns the place what they do for fun. I'm sitting with him and his whole family. He's the grandpa. And he says, we have champagne night. And I said, what is that? He says, I love champagne. And once a week, I take a fine bottle of champagne, and I open it, and we all share it. And as a joke, half joke, I said, in our family, we have egg cream night. Right? And they said, what is this egg cream? And so I explained it to them, that it's chocolate sauce, right?
Yep. Like
Fox's You Bet, if you're from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Equal part milk, so you fill about a quarter of the glass with chocolate sauce and milk. And as you stir it together, you slowly add seltzer and stir. And this causes a chemical reaction, actually, for it to foam up like a beer. Foams up. And when I said it foams up like that in your glass, the women who are in their kimonos both went, oh, like this. And I started to laugh because it's an egg cream. And they think it's some magic trick. And I said, can we get some? I would do anything to make this for you right now. And I told the crew, and yes, next door is a grocery store. They have chocolate sauce. They have milk. They have seltzer.
But they don't have Fox's, you bet.
It didn't matter. Okay. They had the chocolate syrup. They had this milk. I had, and I make them egg creams. It's the perfect cross-cultural moment. It's me sharing what I know with these nice people who just shared with me what they know. That's why you travel. That's the whole point of everything. That's the point of life.
It is a wonderful, wonderful scene. The highlight, as you say, of the series, but one of many great things that'll come up when people watch I'll Have What Phil's Having.
Oh, aren't you nice.
It debuts Monday night on the PBS stations across the country, including Channel 9 here in St. Louis. This is Phil Rosenthal that I'm talking to.
I'm so glad you liked it so much. It makes me very happy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and you really made me hungry, especially in the Italy episode. But tell me about some of the celebrities who you have guesting on later episodes.
Well, the celebrities you see, for the most part, are these great chefs around the world. Those are my celebrities. Mm-hmm. But when I go to Los Angeles for the last episode, you're going to see my friends that I've made from my years of in show business.
Can I just stop you right there?
Of course.
Tokyo, Hong Kong, Paris, Rome, Florence, Los Angeles. What would the budget run out of money?
No, I wanted to do Los Angeles because I wanted to do an American city. PBS would have been perfectly happy with me just doing international cities. But I said, I got to do an American city, at least one in these first six. And they said, okay, which one do you want? And I said, well, the best food city in America at the moment is where I live. It's Los Angeles.
Hmm.
Because of the cultural diversity, that's what it's about. We have more populations. In other words, the biggest Chinese population in the world outside of China is in Los Angeles. Same with Korean, same with Mexican, same with a dozen others I could mention.
Mm-hmm.
We have the space, and so we have the people. And the people come from all over the world and set up. You could visit every province of China by going to the different neighborhoods in the San Gabriel Valley in Los Angeles. So when you have that much, you know how when you take a lot of pictures, two or three of them are great?
Yep.
That's how it is. We have a lot of everything. And so we hit the best of everything as well. And so we go, and I take Martin Short, for example, who's the world's funniest person.
Mm-hmm.
I take him for his first Korean meal. He never had Korean food, and
mm-hmm.
he lives in Los Angeles his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I take Ray Romano for huevos rancheros, Mexican, eggs, breakfast. Never had it before. These are people of the world. There's things they never tried. I take Allison Janney, who just won her 9th Emmy Award last week.
Yep.
Take her to the Grand Central Market downtown to try all kinds of stuff. Grand Central Market is like, you probably have one of these in St. Louis, kind of an indoor or open-air market where you graze. You know, you go from thing to thing to thing. It's like all the world in one little place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we call it the Soulard Market.
I can't wait to go there. Maybe you'll have to take me for a segment.
I will.
Where are your favorite places to eat in St. Louis?
I have wonderful Italian places that I like to go to, but we are really, really known for our barbecue here. And,
that I know. And I also know that in your Italian restaurants, you're famous for fried ravioli.
Yeah, toasted ravioli.
Toasted ravioli, sorry.
Yeah. Have you ever had it?
No, but I've heard about it, and I want to try it.
Well, when the show is renewed for a second season and you're going to do more episode, you put a big pin in St. Louis on your Where Are We Going map,
yeah.
And I'll take you to these places.
I would love it. Tell me some of your favorites.
There's a wonderful place in what we call West County called Paul Mano's Restaurant. There's a whole section of St. Louis called The Hill, which is the old St. Louis neighborhood. In fact, when Yogi Berra died this week, a lot of people went down there to pay their respects to Yogi and his family who still live on the hill.
Nice.
We've got barbecue places like Pappy's and Sugar Fire and lots of others. And a lot of other wonderful places, including the Soulard Market, that I can introduce you to.
You know your food.
I don't know much about how to make food.
Doesn't matter.
But I know how to eat food.
You know what I say to the people that you love this food so much and you're not a chef? I'm like, yeah, I'm not a chef. I'm a fan of the chefs. I don't need the chefs to know how to write a sitcom either.
Absolutely. Are you or your wife Monica good cooks?
No.
So you really know how to go out for food.
Oh, we're great at it.
Yeah. You know, it's the old joke, what's the best thing you make? A reservation.
You got it.
Yeah.
We love it.
Let me ask you about other television stuff before we close out here. Because over 200 episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
And you did that wonderful documentary, Exporting Raymond, a few years ago.
I did. That got me this show. PBS saw that, and they asked me to do this. And by the way, Exporting Raymond's streaming on Netflix. Did I tell you already?
I have it on my Movies You Might Not Know list, and I recommend it to people all the time.
Fantastic. Well, it just started last week on Netflix, streaming for the first time.
So. Well, like this show introduced me to the concept of eating an eel skull, that documentary introduced me to the concept of K&R insurance.
Yeah.
Which is a funny segment in the movie about, you know, do you want to be insured about being killed or held for ransom? Again, I don't want to spoil it. People should watch Exporting Raymond. But here's what I want to ask you. I'm sure in the decades since Raymond went off the air, you've been approached or thought about doing another sitcom. And in this modern television era where we have different platforms now, thanks to the Internet and Netflix and Amazon, what do you think of the future of traditional TV, the industry that you lived in for so many years?
Well, it's certainly changing. And, you know, we have a billion choices, not just restricted to television, obviously, but the Internet. So people are going to watch. In other words, you're not bound to what a network tells you to watch. You are the network. We program our own network, starting with our DVRs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So, in other words, I don't even have to say what channel and what time I'll have what Phil's having is on. You just punch that into your computer or your DVR remote, and it's going to find it and tape it for you. You watch it when you want to watch it.
Yep.
So that's the future. We watch whatever we want, whenever we want.
So what does that mean for people like you who are, and me, who are content providers?
There's a big need for content. It's just not going to get the masses mainstream audience that it used to. Very few things do now anyway. Shows survive on television with 1/100th of the ratings points that they used to have.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Because some people are watching and that's enough. And so then advertisers target those viewers. They know the demographics, probably more than they should know. And they target their advertising specifically to those people. It could be like, remember that movie Minority Report where he's walking down the street and it says, hey, Tom Cruise, look over here. There's a thing just for you. And that's how it's going to be. They're going to market to you, the person.
Well, they're already doing it. Look at your phone and how the ads are being, you know, targeted directly to you.
We don't even realize it, but they know what you bought. They know what you like. They know who you see. They know who you call. It's a little creepy.
Well, I hope people will see this new show of yours. It's called I'll Have What Phil's Having. Debuts Monday night on PBS, so set your DVR to record it in case you're not in front of the TV at 9 o'clock Central Time on Monday night. And I look forward to more episodes of this in the future and other projects from you, Phil, because I'm a fan.
Thank you so much. I'm a fan of yours, too, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Phil Rosenthal here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right, let's check traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Yeah, it's pretty tough out there right now, and especially on Highway 170. You've got two crashes. The first one on northbound 170 near the Rock Road. Two right lanes are blocked. Southbound 170 at Ladue, you've got two left lanes that are blocked. Now we got a vehicle fire on westbound. Now the fire's out, but they do have a couple right lanes blocked on westbound 364, about midway between the Maryland Heights Expressway and the Veterans Bridge. We're looking at let's see here. Eastbound 40 downtown was running slow from Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Then we have southbound 270. It's stop and go Dorset down through Doherty Ferry. On eastbound 270, things are slowing now, approaching McDonald through about 170. And then you've got some slow pockets all the way out through 367. This traffic report is brought to you by Staples. They have more for less on everything your business needs to make more happen every day. Plus free shipping and up to 5% back when you sign up for Staples Rewards. Staples, make more happen. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
While other radio stations were doing their usual programming, KTRS was the only area radio station to bring you full coverage of Pope Francis's arrival to the White House to visit with President Obama.
Mr. President, I find it encouraging
that you are proposing an initiative for reducing air pollution.
For full coverage of Pope Francis's historic visit to the United States, there's only one place on your radio dial. Locally owned, locally operated. KTRS. Depend on it.
If you're suffering with hearing loss and you don't want to hear more clearly again, cover your ears. Because I'm about to offer everyone who's listening an absolutely risk-free trial of a life-changing hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. We'll even give you free shipping and free batteries for life. So if you're still listening, call now. 1-800-500-3112. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. So if you're ready to hear more clearly again, let us give you a 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-500-3112. That's 1-800-500-3112. 1-800-500-3112.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-514-1933. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-514-1933. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-514-1933. That's 1-800-514-1933.
Buffalo Wild Wings just got more obsessed with beer. They're rolling out specials like the Oktoberfest Beer Cheese Dippers, made with special Sam Adams Oktoberfest Cheddar Dip. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports.
This week on Christian Questions, anger and rage. There seems to be more of it now than ever before. What are we so angry about? How do we control our anger? And can anger ever be a good thing? Christian Questions, Sunday, 6 to 7 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
News, weather, traffic, sports, and live local talk. This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis, Ladue, Glen Carbon, University City, Edwardsville, Manchester, Wood.